here with me, Ayafa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, Wanipa.
Yay. So we are back. We are back again. We are consistent as ever. And yeah, today we're going to be answering some dilemmas that were sent in. Thank you again for those that have sent dilemmas so far. If you have any dilemmas or episode suggestions, just send it into our anonymous Google form and we'll be sure to try and answer it best of our ability. Today's questions are both about friendship, and it's something that we've spoken about before, but we're going to try and answer it differently. And yeah, hopefully it will help whoever sent in the question. So, but first we're just going to pray.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for seeing us through the week. Lord, I thank you so much for allowing us to gather here together this evening in your name, Lord, to discuss your holy word. Lord, in spite of everything that's going on in the world, we thank you that we do have time to rest in you and to find time to talk about things that are funny and enjoyable and just remember all the good things that you've provided for us in this life, including community and friendship, Lord. I pray that every word that we speak right now will be guided by your Holy Spirit so that the discussion will be really enlightening and blessed, Lord. And I pray that you'll be with all those who are listening, Lord, whatever they're going through. Lord, I pray that you'll give them the peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to have a wonderful rest of the week, whatever time anyone is listening. And we just thank you for everything that you are in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. That was a beautiful prayer.
Amen. Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So we're going to start with an icebreaker. What's something that looks like or feels like blank, but actually isn't? So today's will be, what's something that feels sinful but actually isn't? So who wants to go first?
MH, you go first. Look at that smile.
Mine is real simple. It's just like when you were a kid and your mom will be like, you guys can't have that, or like you can't take the meat from the pot. And you just go take it anyway. I mean, that's kind of disobedience. So it is sinful. But at the same time, like, you are just trying to eat your food. So, I mean, like, kids need protein to grow.
No, for real.
I guess, like, doing that as an adult feels sinful. But it's like, who's going to fight me? Really, no one.
Honestly, it even happened to me recently when I was at home this time around. Like, I was in the kitchen just getting, like, some extra goodies from the pot. And, like, my mum walked in and found me. And obviously, like, it wasn't a thing. But I felt so like, I've been caught. I'm trapped.
Period. So, yeah, that's fine.
My thing that feels sinful but is not actually sinful is women buying men PS5s. Especially, might I add... men who do not deserve any such thing. Mary Hannah said this to me earlier and it was like, you women are buying your man a PS5 console, but has your man consoled you in the past 5 years? And I said, well, I see. Listen, leave your men to be men like the olden days when they used to build houses and lay bricks and stuff. They can buy their own PS5s. And if they can't, they should build one.
Well, I have two. I don't know. One's kind of grim, so I'll do the nice one. So, what's something that feels sinful but actually isn't? I don't know. Probably like telling kids that the Tooth Fairy exists and like Santa Claus.
No, that is a lie. Like that is a lie.
Because.
That's such a Seventh-day Adventist thing to say.
No, but I don't understand like how they try and do it in Nigeria, because why is Santa, isn't he meant to be in the North Pole? What is he doing in Nigeria? why does his hand not match his face?
I think the first question Nigerians or people from the global south in Africa should be asking is, why is Santa Claus white? That'd be the first question I'd be asking if I was a kid in Nigeria.
But if we start by asking, why is Jesus white?
That's the first question I'd be asking. Like, and why is he, like, it's hot over here. Like, why is he dressed like that? That's what
honestly.
No, for real, though, I didn't really question the Tooth Fairy even after I knew she wasn't real, because she was, you know, filling my purse.
He was.
She, my mother never let my sister and I believe in that. We never believed in Santa. We never believed in the Tooth Fairy.
No, we never had that.
No, you guys are more SDA than me.
Didn't even try. Bro,
what? You guys are more adventurous. They're not real. Than me.
My mama does not play that. She was doing too much, and she's like, she'll tell my kids Santa's not real, and I'm like, Mom, you don't do that.
No, my parents threatened to tell my cousins. I had to be like, no, no.
That was lovely.
So tell us what yours are. So tweet us or message us. So as mentioned before, we're answering dilemmas. So the first dilemma, would you do an episode on finding Christian friends and community? Would love to know how you guys got close at uni and how to deal with having friends that don't believe and are certified atheists. Crying face.
Well, in response to the first bit on would you do one on finding Christian friends and community, would love to know how you guys got close at uni. We actually covered both these things in quite a lot of depth in two of our previous episodes. So the university episode, the uni starter pack, and also my testimony included how I became friends with these guys. So I'm going to refer y'all back to that. Unless you guys want to talk about it a little bit more.
I mean, we can give a quick recap. I don't really know. It's just like, we're all at uni. Ta-da, we met.
Oh, no. Sorry to this girl. Yeah, them two were friends before, and I didn't really know them that much in first year, but we became friends, the three of us, before second year, mm-hmm. via Twitter.
And being in the same, I was about to call you Elizabeth, I don't know why. Winipa was our president of our ACS.
That was what I was going to be called before I was born.
Really, that is so scary.
Elizabeth.
Bruh. I was about to literally say, that's so scary. I love to say Elizabeth was our president. No, Winifa was our gorgeous president, and we were on the committee, so that's how we sort of knew her, too.
Yeah. Anyways, the next part of the question said, how to deal with friends that don't believe and are certified atheists?
I think when I was thinking about this over the week, I think the first thing to remember when you're a believer amongst like non-believing friends is that your role isn't to convince people to follow Christ. I think Jesus is good enough to show himself to those who have eyes to see him. And even scripture said in Hosea that God reveals himself to those who weren't even looking for him. And those who were called unloved, he calls loved. So it's not your job to be doing like basically being the Holy Spirit. Like God has called you to be you and be a light in your way. So I feel like don't try to bear the burden of, oh my gosh, how are these people still going to be saved? Ratatatata, Jesus all the time. Like, Jesus all the time is just part of who you are. You know what I mean? That infiltrates your conversation and the decisions that you make. So I feel like don't, like, lose your head trying to be something God hasn't called you to be. But I think that's the first thing I would say.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, I think you don't have to feel this pressure to, like, be that person in their lives. And like I always refer back to that the verse which says Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and the Holy Spirit made it grow. Like, you don't have to be the one that sees that person all the way from first conversation to baptism, you know, if at all. It might even just be like much later in someone's life they recall, you know, the part that you played in their life. So I think don't put pressure on yourself and don't put pressure on other people either to be that. Also, I just wanted to touch on the friends who are certified atheists. Now, child, I want to say I think it actually takes a lot to be a certified atheist, to like definitively say that there is nothing out there. I don't know if I know anyone like that. But I don't know. Sometimes it's difficult, because I think if someone is a certified atheist and is like one of those type of people that's like very adamant about that and thinks that religion is dumb or something like that, and is like very abrasive towards your views, it might just be a question of like whether or not you guys are compatible as friends on that level. Because I think some things, like for me, my faith is such a big part of who I am that if someone didn't even respect that or at least attempt to understand my point of view, I think I'd find it hard to kind of level with them when it came to other things, because like my faith informs the way that I am in a lot of other things, you know. And I feel like if you don't at least even see that, then you don't really see me. So if by certified you mean, you know, that, girl, I don't know.
I think us also adding to that, if it's not going to the extreme of certified atheist, but just being in a group of people that don't necessarily believe or haven't accepted Christ. It just takes me back to one poetry that I listened to, and it was like, does anyone know that you're a Christian? And it's just important point to, like, we've been called to stand out, to be light of the world, salt of the earth. And as I've probably said in the previous episode, like, salt, you can taste it, light, you can see it. And the Bible says you shouldn't hide it. So even in that friendship group that you might be in, you also can't hide your faith, even though you might feel like, sometimes I talk about God too much, but I haven't been in a space where I was like the only Christian since like sixth form, secondary school. But then even then, it was like my friends knew I was Christian, and so there will be things like, on Sundays they knew I was in church, on Friday evenings they knew I was in church. So if there were events, they would just tell me, oh, I know you'll be in church anyway, type of thing. So it's kind of like, and there's some things like you'll ask you for advice, but they'll know that you're coming from it from a Christian point of view. So like, they kind of know what you're going to say, or like, they know that your morals are good, and they, I don't know, they kind of respect that type of thing. So I think you can always make an impact to people's lives. Maybe it's not seeing them through from non-believing to converting, but even if it's just a little push towards the right path towards God, that is good as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think also another interesting thing to touch on is, I guess you guys can give your opinions too, but having friends who are of different religions, because I think at uni I've found that I'm friends with a number of people who are Muslim, for example. And for me personally, that hasn't halted our friendship or anything. And it's like, I guess this kind of mutual understanding that they're not going to try to, you know, attempt to say anything that undermines my faith, or, you know, disrespect it, or, you know, try to suggest that Islam is, you know, the right way forward. And equally, I wouldn't do the same, because, you know, I'm aware of how I would feel if someone tried to do that for me. And I think actually, when it comes to my friends who are Muslim and stuff like that, we're able to have a lot of conversations, both talking about things from a faith perspective. And even though our religions are different, a lot of the baseline principles are the same. And so I've been able to make connections with people that way, you know, like my friend Pariah, shout out to Pariah. I was talking to him today, for example, about purpose and like what it means to live a life that is, you know, in God's will and that kind of stuff. And I feel like even though specific beliefs are different, we both had that perspective on what it means to have a fulfilled life. So yeah, but what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think the same. I think it doesn't have to be that deep. I think a person's religion is a lifestyle, as we always say. And so a person's personality sort of works through that. So it's just either you gel with their personality or you don't. I don't think religion has to be a big part of that. I think if it was something, because the friends that I've had have been like Sikh, or that I have been like Sikh, Muslim, or and then like agnostic or atheist, or however they choose to identify, somewhere in between there. And yeah, it's always our personalities that are compatible, not necessarily our religious beliefs. And as Ayanfa said, like, they sort of know where I stand on things, and I know where they stand on things, and that's just the way that it is. But yeah, I don't think it has to be a deep thing, unless it's this whole thing where they or you tend to engage in a lot of like religious apologetics type conversations. But then again, I guess that's just how you balance that. Because some people like that and they can like debate really seriously for like 40 minutes and then be like off to spoons after that. And it's still fun, so it's just up to you. But I think it's fine. I think knowing people and conversing with people with beliefs who have beliefs that are different to yours can often help corroborate your own faith and not push you away. So I think it's good to have, actually.
I also think that Christian friendship is really important, mm-hmm. especially if you're surrounded with people that aren't Christian as well, just to get a balance. Because there's lots of things that you can get, like encouragement or just like Bible verses or just like people understanding certain things or like people that you can rant to in a different type of way that you might not be able to get from those friends. So equally, mm-hmm. Christian friendship is still important.
Yeah, I think it just comes back to what we've said many times on this podcast, that like Christianity isn't a personality trait. So yeah, I feel like that means...
I think it was a couple of years ago, I was watching this lady's video and she was like sort of doing a similar thing, like taking in dilemmas, and people would be like, I don't believe in prayer, but I just want advice. And something that made me laugh that she said was like, you don't have to believe in prayer, but I do. And I think when you are like, I have friends who are atheists or agnostic, I have friends who are like that. And to be honest, I don't really know if they believe in prayer. They probably don't, but they know that I do pray for them. And I think that is just very much testament of who God is. I just got the verse of Isaiah 55:11. And well, from verse 10, it says, rain and snow fall from the sky, but they don't return without watering the earth and producing seeds to plant and grain to eat. And this is God speaking. That's how it is with my word. They don't return to me without doing everything I send them to do. And it's just like God's word carries legacy. Like the promises of the Lord are not just for one static moment. Like, so when you speak or pray or even just share a truth of the Bible with somebody, even if it's like not presented as a Bible verse, like for example, someone's saying that, you saying to a friend like, you are loved, or there's purpose in your life, or you know, you'll get through this, or you like just whatever cliche in quotation marks you might share that is actually a scripture, we don't know how that takes root. And the fact of the matter is that God's word, as I said, carries a legacy, and so can take root in somebody's heart in a way that you are not privy to. So I think that's always just that encourages me, at least, and it's something to keep in mind on that point. Even if it is somebody who's atheist, because you don't know what that can do. And like, life is not just what we see now at 20 or what we see now at 25. Like, life, God willing, is 7 decades, 8 decades, 9 decades of living and experiencing. And there's no way God cannot work in somebody's heart through all those years. Mm-hmm. So the second sort of question that we received is, how do you deal with friendship betrayal? Is it possible to say I've forgiven someone, child, but never want to speak to them again? Head scratching. Throat clearing.
Before we even answer this question in the way that maybe it should or should not be answered, I'm just going to lay it bare and just say there are definitely people in my life who, if I never speak to them again, for me in this moment, it will be too soon. Okay. So I'm just going to let you know, because sometimes like we get like DMs or we get people asking for advice and I'm like, I don't want to give you all the impression that I'm holier than thou and have the answers. Yes, I harbor hate. Yes, I harbor dislike, you know. No, and every day I pray for God to soften my heart, but there's people. Anyways, I know that the Lord can make a miracle, so.
No, I have to agree with Winifa. I don't know. I think we've said this before. I think we've said it in a conversation. I think it's bitterness that is the thing that is most.
Right.
Dangerous in quotation marks about like friendship betrayal, because I don't know, like I'm happy to not speak to people that I did like that I've known from high school, not speak to them ever again, not because of any animosity, we just weren't friends. I didn't speak to you that much in high school, and so I'm not gonna speak to you now. Like I genuinely hope you're so happy in your life, but if we never speak,
just drift, Right.
Like, if we never speak, we have not spoken since, and if I never see you again in life, God bless you, Jesus loves you. Like, that's it, deuces, bye. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, no smoke whatsoever. We never had any animosity, but the issue is when there's betrayal involved. Child, don't even ask me, because I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a really difficult one, because obviously the Bible says that you should guard your heart. And I think this is about a wider question of whether forgiveness really means reconciliation. And I don't think those two things are one and the same, but I do feel like if we in our lives are trying to emulate Christ and are trying to forgive as Christ forgives, it probably doesn't involve never wanting to speak to someone again. I'm sorry if that's not what you wanted to hear, but I just do feel like even though it's I think it's difficult to even, you know, even conceptualize that right now, because I think at this age everything also seems really major, at least in my opinion. Like, there's people I dislike now with a very much like early 20s dislike. It feels like, ah, you know. But I do feel like ultimately, if I can never even see in my head the possibility of reconciliation, I feel like maybe that is an issue. But again, I don't know.
I feel with forgiveness, like you said, Mary Hannah, about like bitterness, that's like an aftermath of like when everything, like when the friendship has been broken, or like when you decide to go either way. I always think, like, if I saw you, or if I'm in a room with you, like, can I say hi and, like, walk away? I think that's, like, the extent that I would expect. Like, if it was, like, a betrayal, like, I say hello, and then no even small talk, and then walk away.
That's the thing. Yeah.
I think, I think it's also contextual, because I mean there are some friendships which have been like abusive, you know, and I feel like, you know, you don't have to reconcile with someone, or at least, you know, let the relationship go back to the same way it was before, because that's just not wise, you know. You don't want to put yourself in a position to be hurt by that person again. But I guess also, I mean, everyone has a different level of tolerance, and we like have friendship breakups over different things. And I actually stumbled across this thread. I think someone in one of my Bible group chats sent it into the Twitter DM, and it was just talking about the story of when Jesus was, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was like at his wit's end, like he was fully breaking down, as we all would, knowing that his death was coming very, very soon. And he was like, you know, Lord, like, if this could not happen, please, can it just not happen, right? And so you can imagine, you know, he's in tears, he's praying with all his might, and he's there with his three best buds, and they fall asleep while he is crying and praying and in such anguish. Not only do they fall asleep, but he comes to wake them up, and he's like, please, guys, support me. Like, just couldn't you even just stay awake for 1 hour? They fell asleep, like, again and again. And then straight after that, you know, you have the denial of Jesus by Peter three times. All this thing, like, all these things that Jesus's friends did to him after they just had the best 3 years of their lives, just, you know, going on a wonderful continual adventure. And I think if Christ had the capacity to tolerate all that, I guess that's maybe a standard that we should be striving for. But I think also, like, as the thread highlighted, what that passage tells us is that sometimes, you know, your friends just don't have the capacity to be who you want them to be in your life, and just ultimately to try to rely on God and try to extend grace to them, because humans aren't perfect. And this isn't me advocating for people standing for all kinds of treatment, because if you know me, you know I'll be the first one to tell you better stand up for yourself and back yourself, all this kind of stuff. But I do think, just like, we're in such a culture now which is just like, at the first sign of insignificance or problems, like, just cut someone off really easily. And I equally don't think that that's a very Christ-like way to live life.
I also I agree with what you said, but I also believe that boundaries are important. I have 2 points. So first of, not everyone that you allow to enter into your life needs to be in it. And I think going into friendships and like just relationships in general, you should know what you will accept and what you won't. So, but even then, it can be like God can help you, it can be more flexible, but still, you should be aware of like the things that are your
non-negotiables.
What's it called? Deal breakers, yeah, and non-negotiables. And also with like if some things happen, you should know, you should set boundaries in place. Like with reconciliation, you don't have to go back to being friends. There's some people that you used to be friends with, and then you might have a talk or you might forgive them, but then you don't go back to being friends. Like, it's not strangers or friends, you can just be acquaintances.
Civil.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that would be a good boundary to set in place as well.
I definitely agree with you, Iron Faye. I think it is about showing discernment in every situation. Like, obviously we don't know what the exact situation this person is referring to. And I think it's definitely true that we allow some people in our lives who are not meant to be there. And sometimes the friendship breakup is God's swift way of removing them. And I think this just goes back to something that Mary Hannah always says, that God is not a God of confusion. Like, I was just looking for the exact verse. It's in 1 Corinthians 14:33, which says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people." So I think if someone has genuinely rocked you and caused disorder in your life, then it's okay to put in place boundaries. Yeah.
And I think I'm just trying to think of instances in scripture where I've seen like friendship ruptures, because I think we all know of like David and Jonathan and their whole sort of like big almost like soul tie type of situation. But the first thing that came to mind was Paul and someone else who was I've been trying to think of instances in scripture where we see friends like sort of separate, because I know we know of like David and Jonathan and how like cool they were, but the first thing that came to mind was Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas, and we actually had to go cross references, so child, this didn't just come from the top of my head, but in the last sort of section of Acts 15, it talks about how Paul and Barnabas actually ended up going their separate ways because Barnabas wanted to take along John, whose other name was Mark, so John Mark, but Paul did not want to because Mark had essentially been a waste man in the past and didn't fulfill his role. and so Paul and Barnabas are arguing, and then each of them went his own way, and that's what it says. And I know at the end of Paul's life, I'm pretty sure they sort of reconciled. And I think that's so interesting because they were arguing about ministry, and that's just like so different than what I guess we would argue about now, like typically from trip betrayals, like gossip, or, you know, someone does something that's harmful or hurtful, but it's just like they had a difference of opinion. And I think, in my opinion, as I'm reading this, I mean, their little argument has maybe what is verse 36 to 41, so like what, 5 or 6 verses that scripture uses to cover it. I mean, they reconciled at the end of their lives, but God was still able to work through them and with them in their separation. And I think it comes back to what we've already covered when dealing with friendship betrayal. I think it's just what are your intentions towards that person, because I think it's naive to think that one day you're just going to wake up, like in my instances, the person that I'm saying I would never be friends with them, which is so bad to say, like I acknowledge that, but I guess that's showing where I am in my I guess betrayal journey, not even betrayal journey, just friendship rupture. I think it comes to a point where it's just like even if we're not friends, well, we aren't friends, what is my intention towards you? Like, beyond saying, like, I want to see you eat, just not at my table, and all those stupid cliches. Like, what is my actual intention towards you? You know, because I mean, I don't know what Paul and Barnabas' whole situation was, of course. But it's just, like, I presume that even in their separation, the whole goal was that souls would be won for Christ. And so I think being able to be in a position where you pray for the other person or genuinely believe the best for the other person is a good place to be, because to me, I very much doubt it if I wake up tomorrow and everything will be like butterflies and roses, and if I cross the street with this person, I'll be like saying hello. Me, if I don't like somebody, not even if I don't like them, if we're not friends, I will literally act like your ad. Like, I will walk past you and I never saw you. I never saw you. You never existed. And that is not a good way. That is not a good way to live. So I think in that regard, it's being able to not only acknowledge someone and say like those cliches, but to genuinely believe the best for them. And if reconciliation presented itself, having the wisdom and the heart to be open to that. I think those are my sort of like concluding thoughts. Because reconciliation might not always present itself.
So yeah, I think in summary, the ultimate goal should be to be able to forgive as Christ forgives. Mm-hmm. But also you need to have discernment and guard your heart and just, I guess, want the best for people. And the main issue is just harboring bitterness, I think, you know. I think wanting to keep your distance is fine, but mm-hmm. bitterness may be actively holding a grudge against someone is an issue. And it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. So we hope that you enjoyed our conversation about friendship a little bit and betrayal and how we deal with all of that. We try to be as honest as possible with where we're at in our journey. But I think the most important thing, as we've all discussed and reiterated, is loving and forgiving as Christ has loved and forgiven us. And in scripture, that looks like reconciliation. And that might not be instantaneous. Neither may it always be possible. But I think that's the truest indication of, or being open to reconciliation, rather, is the truest indication of true forgiveness. But yes, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, follow us on our social media at Let God Podcast. Continue to send us your questions, dilemmas, comments. You know, the end of the year is drawing near. So if there's anything that we haven't covered in our sort of, I think it's almost 6 months, 7 months of our podcast being live, then please do fill out the Google Form. Yeah, I know, super exciting. Fill out this Google Podcast.
It's not even 5 months yet.
It's not even 5 months, is it?
When did we start?
In June. Did we start in June?
Yeah. 25th of June.
Is it 5 months?
So then 6 months is coming up in like a month and a bit, basically.
Oh, then half a year. Sorry, my math is appalling. that's why I'm not a mathematician, babe. I'm not a STEM babe. Yes, please fill out the Google Doc form. It will just DM us. You know, I think a couple of people prefer to do that anyway. But yes, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week. God bless. Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye.